Jovan Buha! Buha!
Yo, yo! I'm Jovan Buha, NBA reporter and analyst for Buha's Block, and welcome to another live show. On today's episode, we are going to be discussing the Lakers' current depth chart, looking at a snapshot of where LA's roster currently stands and how I believe the starting lineup will shake out, the rotation will shake out, the closing lineup, and also looking at different variations of the starting lineup, thanks to a cool tool over at B-Ball Index, where you can build out a lineup and it will tell you the projection of what that lineup will look like. So it's an awesome feature over there, and we'll be playing with that to look at different variations of who the Lakers' fifth starter should be from a statistical projection perspective. But shout out to the chat, shout out to the late night gang. Appreciate you all. All right, let's get into it. So I'm going to start with the offensive depth chart, and I want to start with that just because that's typically how we discuss lineups and the construction of lineups, right, with Luka at point guard and taking a quick view at that. Then I want to quickly pivot over to the defensive depth chart, and I think that's a bit more important in how I am more so viewing the roster and who should start versus who should be in the rotation, who should come off the bench, etc. And I want to apply a giant caveat here to this entire discussion because, as we know, the Lakers are still in the hunt for Jonathan Kuminga and or potentially another starting level wing or forward. So if the Lakers add Jonathan Kuminga or if they add another player, that will obviously change how we view this entire exercise, especially the starting group. I think Kuminga would immediately slot in as a starter, whether that's PJ Washington or a different player. They would immediately become a starter, move whoever is that starter into the second unit group, and then potentially move someone from that second unit into the third unit. And obviously then someone would have to be going out in that trade. So that would also change either the second group or the third group. So there's a lot to still be determined with the Lakers offseason, a lot still up in the air. And I think in potentially the next couple of days or the next week, next couple of weeks, we will have an update here whether the Lakers make a bigger move for a starting level wing slash forward or a smaller move, maybe just getting off of a contract to open up a roster spot, either to have just 14 players or to add someone else with a vet minimum contract. Maybe a player gets squeezed by the market and is now all of a sudden available. Lakers like that player better than spots like 11 to 15 on their roster. They end up trading one of the guys at the back end, clearing a spot, and then signing that player for the minimum. I think that's a way that this all could play out. So offensively, if we're looking at this from an offensive perspective, Luka at point guard, Austin at shooting guard, Quentin Grimes is in the Marcus Smart role, which offensively was more of that three spot, less of that ball handler, secondary playmaker that is Austin when he's out there with Luka. And then Grimes is simply in a catch and shoot attack from the secondary side type spot. Then Jake LaRavia at the four, which I think will be the most polarizing and controversial selection here, then Walker Kessler at the five. So looking at this, I think there are four starting locks right now for the Lakers. It's Luka, Austin, Grimes, and Kessler. I think that fifth spot is open for multiple guys. And right now, I think if the Lakers were playing a game tonight or playing a game tomorrow and needed to put out a lineup, I do believe Jake LaRavia would be the fifth guy out there. But there are several guys you can make a case for, right? Like a lot of people are penciling in Mamu. I will get into why I am lower on that fit with him as the starting four with this particular group. There will still be the people that say Jared Vanderbilt should start. I have my skepticism of that just because of JJ's relationship with Vando, how he views him, how he's used him. Maybe Adu Thiro makes the leap and continues to progress. He ends up starting as well. Then you have Zaire Williams, a recent addition for the minimum, who I think might actually have the second best case to start behind Jake LaRavia. But wanted to lay this out from an offensive perspective because this is the way, again, I think we primarily talk about lineup construction, and people will be like, well, the Lakers backcourt is Luka and Austin, when in reality, I think the depth chart is a bit different when you look at it from a defensive perspective. And that's where we will now shift our attention and primarily focus on this. So this is how I view the Lakers depth chart from a defensive perspective, with the same starters, but rearranged with the same second and third units. So why do I have this alignment here? Well, from what we've heard about Quentin Grimes from the team, as well as Quentin Grimes' recent interview with ESPN LA, the Lakers really view Quentin Grimes as a point of attack defender, and he is going to be the primary backcourt guy. So right now I have him slotted defending point guards, because most teams have an all-star level or you know, high level starting point guard or lead ball handler. That is, I think, going to be the assignment for Quentin Grimes moving forward. So technically he can defend either backcourt spot, but I have him as the primary guy against lead ball handlers, whether that's a true point guard or maybe a bit of a bigger player. Does get a little complicated when you think about a guy like a Cade Cunningham or someone of that size. I think those types of guys are a little bit too big for Quentin Grimes. But for now, I would say if it's a player who is a guard size player, who is the primary backcourt guy, like a Jalen Brunson, a Tyrese Maxey, a player like that, a De'Aaron Fox, guys like that, those are the guys I think Quentin Grimes is going to defend. Then you will have, so that'll be point of attack. That is Quentin Grimes' defensive role. Then you have Austin Reeves, who will be in a chaser role, and his role will be guarding guys off of the ball more so, and the secondary guy in the backcourt. And I think Austin, that's one of his better skills defensively, is screen navigation and sticking with guys around floppy actions or you know, pin downs or whatnot, whether it's on the baseline or the sideline. And that to me is a proper deployment of Austin. And this is where, going back to last season, why the starting group worked so well with Marcus Smart compared to Rui Hachimura was Marcus was able to defend 1 through 3, even 1 through 4 sometimes. And he could take on, if it was, you know, the best opposing player was a 1, Marcus would guard them. Best opposing player was a 2, Marcus would guard them. 3, Marcus would guard them, etc. So that is the task right now for Quentin Grimes and whether he could do that or not. But Austin will be the secondary backcourt guy. You're going to, now some teams have no place to hide and it's just like, they're going to test Austin. If you have two elite, if you're playing Philly, that means he has to guard VJ Edgecombe, right? And that means Grimes is on Maxey and there's just not really a great defensive matchup there, but that's the reality of the situation. Then I have Jake LaRavia here starting. And this is the primary reason why I have Jake LaRavia starting over Zaire Williams, over Vando, over Mamu, over Adu. We will get into it a little bit more in a second. But the primary reason is using Jake LaRavia as a wing stopper. I think JJ has shown that he believes in Jake far more than he believes in Vando. Last season, Jake started 43 of the 82 games. He started more than half the season. And when it was LeBron out or Austin out or Rui out or Marcus out, Jake was often the guy that JJ turned to start. So if you just go by JJ's actions last season, and even I would argue keeping Jake in the playoff rotation a little bit longer than many anticipated, it still gave him a couple chances in that Thunder series before eventually benching him. I think JJ has a proclivity for Jake and just his style of play, being that connector offensively, sometimes a good shooter, obviously for the totality of the season was not a good shooter, shot 32% on threes, but solid defender, solid rebounder for his size, and plays hard and brings a level of toughness defensively that I think the Lakers want within the rotation. Now, I don't think this is set in stone, and clearly this is the spot in the rotation the Lakers should be looking to upgrade here. I think if Jonathan Kuminga were on this roster, Jonathan Kuminga would be in that Jake LaRavia spot, Jake would be in the Vando spot, and Vando would be somewhere in that third string alongside, it depends who's being sent out in a Kuminga trade, but let's just say it's something like Hardy and Dalton for salary matching purposes. Vando would then probably be in that third string small forward spot or do, depending on how you want to classify either one of those guys. But then Jake, I think, would be in a more appropriate slotting backup role. and Kuminga would be starting. But that small forward spot, I'm viewing as the wing stopper spot. And that is where you need a certain level of utility defensively. You also want a certain level of size and rebounding. And that's where, to me, Jake is kind of the Goldilocks option here, where like he's better offensively than Vando. And certainly there's a trust with JJ built in. I think for right now, he's better ahead of Adu, at least as a shooter, but overall offensively as a connecting player, though Adu has the upside to surpass him as well. Zaire is the one where I think it's closer. Zaire averaged more points per game last season than Jake. He shot better from three than Jake. I would say as constructed, Jake is better at guarding up. So if you are playing a true power forward, if you are playing a team with a double big look or a guy who likes to post up, I think Jake LaRavia is better equipped to defend that type of player than Zaire Williams. Jake is also a notably better rebounder than Zaire Williams. I think that's something you want with this group overall, is if you're not going to start another like true big, you have Kessler, who's a great defensive rebounder. You have Luka, who is a great defensive rebounding guard slash wing. And then if you add in another strong rebounder in Jake for his specific position, I think you're in a pretty good spot with the defensive glass. So I think based on, and I haven't mentioned Mamu, with Mamu, I think the thing here, and I have some notes that I'll get into it in a second, is to me, it's pretty similar to the Rui situation, where I know a lot of people have been projecting this out as like Mamu is the Rui replacement, right? And I don't think it's a perfect analog. There are some similarities between the two. There are some major differences between the two. But between the two, Mamu is much more of a traditional big man than Rui is. Mamu has played most of his minutes and defended primarily fives throughout his career. So while people are projecting Mamu at the four, and he does have the versatility to play the four, Mamu has actually played more at the five and defended more at the five than at the four. So if we view Rui and Mamu from a positional standpoint, Rui was more of like either a true four, or with how the Lakers used him, kind of a 3.5, right? Like they'd often, if Rui was starting, he would be in that Jake role and he would be a bit miscast because he's not great at being that wing stopper or being that primary defensive guy for, I mean, we just saw that the limitations to it the last couple of years, but that would be like, that was the role the Lakers were asking of him. You can't ask that of Mamu. Mamu's slower than Rui. Mamu is way more of an interior defender and a helper than Rui. So while, I think Mamu's probably better overall defensively and rates out better defensively than Rui. In terms of being a wing stopper, I actually think Rui is better in that specific role than Mamu is. And if it's like, hey, go guard an athletic wing and try to get a stop, I think Rui is better equipped at Mamu than that. But even then, Rui was not equipped to really do that. And we saw how the Lakers offense, Lakers defense and offense, honestly, they were better on both sides with that new starting group. But how things clicked into place when they replaced Rui with a defensive point of attack slash wing stopper in Marcus Smart. Now, the distinction here for me is Quentin Grimes, in my opinion, has yet to show he can scale up and consistently guard threes, and definitely has not shown he can consistently guard fours. So against backcourt guys, no issue with Quentin Grimes. Against big wings, an issue with Quentin Grimes. Now, maybe he continues to develop on the defensive side. He's still in his mid-20s. He still has upside, and the Lakers are making a big bet on him to the point where maybe he can guard threes consistently, and he is both the point of attack guy and the wing stopper. But I think there will be situations in which, for example, Grimes' old team, let's just play this out here, and this is before even factoring in the possibility of LeBron going there. If you have Maxey, Edgecombe, Jaylen Brown, Dean Wade, and Joel Embiid, all right, well, you're going to slot Walker Kessler on Joel Embiid. You're going to slot Quentin Grimes, I believe, on Tyrese Maxey. You're going to put Austin on VJ Edgecombe. Then who's guarding Jaylen Brown? It's either Luka or it's Mamu in that case, right? And I just think that does not make any sense whatsoever. You want both of those guys as the third front court guy or secondary forward guy, as a helper, as a roamer, leveraging defensive playmaking and help rotations. You do not want either one of those guys as like the primary defensive stopper. And I think really Luka's actually more equipped to do that than Mamu is. And so Luka would be put in this position where he has to be like the wing stopper, which to me just doesn't make any sense. So I think to me, I do not like, other than just a talent perspective, which I get, and a contract perspective, which Mamu's now getting paid more than double what Jake's making, more than Vando's making, more than Zaire Williams is making, more than Adu's making. Like, sometimes contracts and politics play a role in all this in terms of who starts versus who comes off the bench. But to me, Mamu, I think it makes much more sense as a third big and as both the backup four and backup five, which I'll touch on in a second. And then it's to me, it's either Jake or Zaire Williams, realistically. I think that the case is a bit weaker for Vando or Adu just because of their shooting limitations and their overall offensive limitations as things stand right now. So to me, I view this more as a Jake versus Zaire Williams conversation. And certainly there's a chance Zaire Williams is the better choice. Again, average more points, shot better from three. Some of his defensive metrics are better than Jake's, especially in terms of his defensive playmaking with the steals. So I would say, again, with Jake's defensive utility in terms of being able to guard fours and being a better rebounder, I do lean Jake a little bit more, especially if his shot regresses to where it was a couple of years ago. But I think, to me, this conversation is more between Jake and Zaire Williams than anyone else. Vando, I don't think, has the trust of the coaching staff. Adu is still coming along, and I think he's still relatively raw offensively, needs to develop his jumper. Mamu, to me, is just too defensively limited for what the Lakers need in that starting role. So to me, it's more of a wing conversation. And to me, it's between Jake and Zaire Williams. Here are some of my notes. First and foremost, the fifth starting spot is clearly the spot that needs the upgrade, whether it's a Kuminga, a PJ Washington, someone else. To me, Mamu shouldn't start for the same reasons Rui shouldn't start, of just you need, I think ideally you want like two high level perimeter guys out there defensively. And the Lakers have one guy in Grimes, but then it's to me between Jake or Zaire, like who you view in that spot. Also worth mentioning Cameron Carr. I think it depends. I guess it depends how comfortable you are with him guarding up. I do view Carr right now with the lack of strength and overall weight, as someone who's probably better defending backcourt guys and not necessarily, like, I don't know if he's ready to defend threes full time. Whereas I think if you put him out there with Grimes, he's a bit bigger than Grimes. He's taller than Grimes. He's longer than Grimes. And so you might want to put Carr in that position where he's guarding the big wings. And I think that's an over ask, especially for a rookie. So I do primarily view this as Jake versus Zaire. And I think based on Jake's reliability last season and the proof of concept with him, albeit better in a bench role, but like that's just the current state of the Lakers roster, I think they would lean Jake. Now with Mamu, if we go back for a second here, I needed to do this cleanly to have three guys in each spot just for aesthetic purposes to a degree. But I truly view this as Mamu's probably the sixth man in this case, and he is both the backup four and the backup five. He's the Lamar Odom in this roster build. Colin Sexton is the seventh man. He's the backup guard to, if we really go back to the offensive depth chart, he's more that backup guard to Luka and Austin as the third primary ball handler, but he's going to be primarily guarding guards as a point of attack guy. Then I would probably slot Cameron Carr as the eighth man and Zaire Williams as the ninth man, though there could be some competition and debate between those two spots. And if Jake LaRavia was coming off the bench, I'd probably view him more as the eighth guy. Carr is the ninth guy, just again, because of the familiarity, the continuity, the proof of concept with the coaching staff. But that to me is like the top nine. Then we get to the Vando Adu spots in the rotation. And I think it's going to be a real competition between those guys. But those guys I view more as like a distant 10th. And I think LA will lean on that top nine. So I wanted to make that clarification because while technically I have Mamu slotted as the primary backup five and getting almost all of the non-Kessler minutes, I also have him getting a ton of the 4 minutes and playing in double big lineups next to Walker Kessler, as well as potentially next to Kevon Looney in certain bench configurations. So I just wanted to state that again, if you look at Mamu's lineup data, he has played nearly 70% of his minutes at the five. He's matched up with fives nearly 70% of the time. So I know there's this notion that he's this four out there, but in talking to people out in Vegas, watching more film on him, I do think he looks more like a five on film than he does a four. Now with a certain five, which I think Kessler can be that five, you can make it work in terms of a double big look. But I view Mamu almost as like the point forward center with the bench group more so than like a full-time power forward the way I see some people talk about him. I just don't know if he has the puppies. I don't know if he has the speed and athleticism to play the full-time four, because some teams go double big and I think he could play in those. If you're playing OKC and they got Chet out there, all right, Mamu's probably fine. If you're playing, again, to bring back the Philly example, if Philly's going smaller and Jaylen Brown's actually at the four, where are you putting Mamu? Like, you're in a pretty tough spot at that point. So I think based on the versatility and what the Lakers need from a wing stopper perspective and an overall perimeter defense perspective, I think Mamu makes far more sense as a bench player, and it's more of a Jake LaRavia, Zaire Williams conversation. And again, I think Zaire has a real shot to start over Jake, especially if he continues to develop offensively, develop as a shooter. And also if the Lakers are comfortable just using him solely on wings and using Luka as a four, right? Because I think there would be scenarios in which if a team has a stronger four than a stronger three, you just put Jake on that guy and you hide Luka on the three. But if the Lakers are fine with, hey, Luka's always going to guard the fours, or maybe if it's like a certain situation where maybe the five isn't as good offensively, but the four is strong, like you're playing Brooklyn and it's Julius Randle at the four. Maybe you even put Kessler on Julius Randle at the four and you have some optionality there. But I think Zaire in a specific context, especially if it's just him as a wing stopper, not as much as a big man defender, could make sense over Jake LaRavia. And then I also think to go back to this, I am giving Vando the early crack in the rotation in terms of being ahead of Adu and there being a seniority continuity element here. But certainly with the way that Adu has played in Summer League, the way that Adu has flashed offensively in Summer League, and I think really progressed, I think his offensive floor and ceiling already to me look higher than Jared Vanderbilt's, like, even as currently constructed. I think he's already better at catching and finishing around the rim than Jared Vanderbilt is. And there's just a real vertical pop and athleticism around the rim that his level of speed, vertical leap, and his power and strength are just, I think he's a different class of athlete than Vando. And I think overall you're starting to see that translate more with how he's playing in Summer League. So this could easily be Vando and Adu flip-flopped. I think JJ has tended to give veterans the first shot. If you go back to last season, like the way that he was using Gabe Vincent, for example, I could see Vando starting out being ahead of Adu in the pecking order, but certainly Adu having a real shot to not only jump him, but potentially just start. Like maybe Adu, I think the big question with Adu, obviously, is the jumper, is the three-point shot. It has not really been there. I mean, that's kind of putting it kindly, but it has not been there at all in Summer League, right? And that's still a major weakness within his game. And it's just difficult to be a rotation guy on a team with championship aspirations that can't shoot, right? You see that guy get played off the floor continuously in the playoffs, round after round. The further you go in the playoffs, like just look at the guys who are playing in the Spurs-Knicks series. Everyone, with the exception of Mitchell Robinson and Luke Kornet, could shoot and shoot at least around a league average level, if not better. And you know, similar thing in the OKC San Antonio series, and the guys who couldn't shoot were played into smaller and smaller roles. So I think that's the big limitation right now with Adu, but even if he can't shoot better than Vando, which the bar is pretty low, I think he can dribble better than Vando. I think he can pass better than Vando. I think he can finish and catch better than Vando. So that alone might already put him ahead. I think Vando is ahead of him defensively overall as an on-ball guy, but Adu is making strides there, and his stocks and just his overall activity and motor, I think is something that might vault him ahead of Vando. These are my final notes on that. I mean, if we go to the third string, I mentioned it here. I don't view Kevon Looney as an every night reliable backup. Just talking to more people, watching more film on him, it just seems like he's more there for being a locker room presence, especially if they add Jonathan Kuminga. He was a vet and mentor to Kuminga in Golden State. So you would have the Kuminga whisperer on, in the locker room on the staff. He's a three-time champion, but he's an old 30. He's a 30 that looks more like 38. He could barely move last season, and maybe he bounces back and changes. Like, maybe this ends up being Looney in the Mamu spot, Mamu in the Vando spot, and Vando and Adu both get pushed down, and it's more of a, there's not really a third center necessarily, but I do think Mamu will start the season on the bench. I think he'll be both the backup five and the primary backup four. He'll get 22 to 25 minutes in that role, and that will be how the Lakers end up utilizing him. So I'd probably say it ends up being close to 50-50 in terms of him five versus four, maybe a little bit more at the five. Like, Kessler will probably be in, I would guess, in the 32 minute range. So that means you got 16 minutes left at the five. Maybe Mamu plays 12 or 14 of those 16 minutes. And then Kevon Looney. I mean, at that point, you might as well just go all Mamu at the five. And then, yeah. So the more I think through it, I think maybe Mamu is more like a 60% at the five, 40% at the four, because the Lakers have other guys that could play at the four, obviously, looking at this rotation. In terms of the third string, I think Adu is the one guy who I see with the best chance to jump into the second string and usurp Vando there. DK, Jaden Hardy, I just do not see it. I think, especially with some of their counterparts here, Zaire Williams and Dalton Connect shot the same from 3-point range last season, but Zaire is a much better defender and overall athlete and just a more versatile player than Dalton Connect. So I don't see where he finds a role. Cameron Carr and Colin Sexton are better versions of Jaden Hardy and better defensively than Jaden Hardy. And then Bronny's the one where I guess if the Lakers, especially if there's an injury in the backcourt, or if they feel like they need a little bit more point of attack and maybe Colin Sexton isn't giving them that, I could see Bronny being maybe the 11th or 12th man in this scenario. I could see him being ahead of Looney, Hardy, and Connect. I think based on how he closed the season, that could make some sense. But realistically, I think this is a pretty clear top 10. I would put Adu as the 11th guy. And again, some competition there between Adu and Vando for the 10th versus the 11th spot. And then probably Bronny 12th, Looney 13th, Hardy 14th, DK 15th. And that's before even mentioning the possibility that they make a trade for either a Kuminga or like a starting level forward or wing, or doing as like they could just dump Hardy or Dalton Connect somewhere else, clear a roster spot just to have one, or clear a roster spot to sign some value minimum players. So again, I think the Lakers, giant caveat here that this will probably look differently in a week or two, but I would definitely say kind of go into training camp, I would suspect that this overall looks different. Now, in terms of, we talked through starters, rotation, closers, I don't necessarily think that this group is the locked in closing group. I would say to me, it's probably going to be matchup dependent. And this is where something that Pete Zayas, newly to Lakers Collective and of Laker Film Room, he's big on this. And I wholeheartedly agree with him that you want your team to have a clear closing five, and ideally it's the same as the starting five. And I don't think that would necessarily be the case here for the Lakers, which is where I continue to be a proponent of either Kuminga, Washington, some other clear starter who's better overall than Jake and better defensively than Mamu, that just slots everybody in the right roles. I still think that's a real need for this group, but right now I think with the closers, I mean, you could go with the starters. I suspect that four of the five, just like they're locked in as starters, would probably be locked in with the closing group. And then depending on the matchup, if you want to go double big, you can go with Mamu. If you need more defense, you can shift to Vando or Adu. Or maybe if Zaire continues to pop offensively, Zaire is the option. And maybe he's just the starting option overall. Or maybe Jake gets his shot back and his confidence back, and Jake is the closing guy, right? I think the Lakers still have several options there. Cameron Carr, that could be a situation for Cameron Carr, where if it's an opponent with three guards, or maybe they don't have this like big power wing, Cameron Carr is closing. A little bit skeptical of Colin Sexton closing, both because of his defensive limitations and his size. That's to me, one of the limitations with the Sexton signing is I just don't see a ton of Sexton, Austin, Luka, at least not against good teams, because I just think that perimeter combination is too limited defensively from a ball containment and like point of attack containment perspective. But I could see any of the aforementioned guys that are starting candidates plus Cameron Carr having a shot to potentially close games. And then I want to look at the B-ball index lineup cards here, because I think these are pretty fun. So first one, this is with Jake LaRavia as the starter. And for context, I'm using Walker Kessler's data from the 2024-25 season. Everyone else is from last season, but you see here, they have Luka as a shot creator offensively and as a helper defensively. These are based on all of his data and how he was used, all the tracking stuff. Like, this is the proper slotting in their estimation for Luka. So he's obviously a shot creator, but then he's also a helper defensively. Quentin Grimes is a movement shooter offensively and a chaser defensively, which I found interesting because that's not point of attack and that's not wing stopper. That's actually more of like a secondary defensive position. Jake LaRavia is the stationary shooter offensively, which checks out, and point of attack guy defensively. Austin is a shot creator and a point of attack guy. And then Kessler is a roll and cut big and an anchor big. So this is that lineup. It projects out for an 123 offensive rating with an 111.4 defensive rating overall, plus 11.6 net rating, which is a monster number. And you look at some of the top metrics here, or you know, top areas where they rate out on ball gravity, offensive talent and playmaking is elite. And then defensively, big man mobile defense with having Kessler, LaRavia, and Luka, you have a certain level of mobility there. Post defense and then defensive rebounding is also strong. So this is my projected starting group. Now, interestingly, if we shift it to the MAMU lineup is actually better. And of note, the MAMU lineup is worse offensively than the LaRavia lineup, which doesn't pass the smell test to me because Mamu's a better offensive player than Jake. But so it's worse offensively, but it's better defensively. I found that counterintuitive, but that's what this projection states. So all the same labels for each of the other four starters, but with Mamu, they have him as a stationary shooter, same as Jake LaRavia offensively, but he's a mobile big defensively instead of having the point of attack label that Jake had. So I think in this case, my guess would be there's a greater variety of defensive roles. Remember, Austin is listed as a point of attack guy as well as Jake. So maybe there's a little bit of overlap there defensively, and that is leading to the defensive numbers not being as strong, because just in theory, like, Jake is a better defender than Mamu. Mamu's a better offensive player than Jake. If you're swapping those guys in and out, I would suspect the Mamu lineup would be better offensively, worse defensively, and then the inverse for the Jake lineup, but that's not true. So this is plus 12.9, which is actually the best net rating of any of these lineups we're about to look at. So for those who are advocating for Mamu, I think this is your strongest point here, where again, you look at it with Jake, it's about 2.5 points per 100 possessions better offensively. But then when you look at the defense, it's almost 4 points, like about a little over 3.5 points per 100 possessions worse defensively with Jake in there than Mamu. So again, I find that counterintuitive, but that is what the numbers saying. If you look at here, similarly elite on-ball gravity, offensive talent, playmaking, and then defensively, the big man mobile defense is the thing that really stands out. You're even more mobile with Mamu in there. The defensive rebounding is better. And actually the post defense is worse going from Jake to Mamu. So make of that what you will. And then we go to the Zaire Williams option. And just to be clear here, like I tried to arrange it in terms of like the positions, but it just spits it out with the random five-man combination here. So or they arrange it, I guess, the way that they view it. So interestingly, with Zaire, he's a movement shooter. So now you have a couple of movement shooters here with Grimes and Zaire, but then he plays that wing stopper role, whereas they have Jake LaRavia in the point of attack role. Zaire is in the wing stopper role. So that actually, with Austin as the point of attack guy, even though I think Austin and Grimes would swap in this scenario, and Austin would be the chaser, Grimes would be the point of attack guy. You have, I think, a proper slotting where Grimes is point of attack, Austin is chaser, Zaire is wing stopper, Luka is helper, and Kessler's anchor big. And those five distinctions defensively all make sense to me, and I think that all fits together. Now, as I said, this actually is the worst of the five options we're looking at. Just a plus 7.6 net rating, or technically 7.7. And the interesting thing with this is it's the second best group defensively with that 108.8 defensive rating, but the offense is the worst by a decent number here. So for whatever reason, they're calculating the fit with Zaire Williams offensively. There's a bit of a limitation there with him as the fifth starter. But yeah, I mean, I think you can't go wrong. Like, all these lineups are good. I just think, to me, it's probably more so a conversation with these first three, though I would argue more so looking at Jake versus Zaire, because again, the Mamu one, I do have some questions with defensively, despite what the numbers say. Then we get to Jared Vanderbilt, who they have as a stationary shooter and as a helper, which is interesting because you would think of Vando as a point of attack guy or as a wing stopper, but they are labeling him as a helper. This group, really good defensively. The offense is stronger than the Zaire, but not as roughly as strong as actually the Mamu, but not as strong as the Jake. But then it's worse defensively than the Mamu one, but 9.5 net rating with Vando. Just, I think that's fantasy land. I don't see JJ going from viewing Vando as like a ninth man to starting him. Even when they've been depleted, he has not started Vando. And then this is a new Thero, who's nearly the same net rating as Vando, better than Zaire, nearly a 120 offensive rating, about a 111 defensive rating. And this is based on Adu's last season. So limited sample size, limited games, not necessarily indicative of the player that Adu currently is or is going to be. But he slots in as an athletic finisher and also as a helper. And then you see some of the post defense is actually better. You know, big man mobility defense, et cetera. But I just thought this was interesting where all five, again, to recap, Jake, Mamu, Zaire Williams, Vando, and Adu, they all were plus 7.66 or better from a net rating perspective. So basically what this tool is saying is Lakers can't really go wrong. Whoever they start, it's going to be a good lineup, and it has upside on both sides of the ball. I think in terms of pure net rating here, Mamu's at the top, Jake is the second one, and then there is a drop off between those. There's like a 1 point drop off, and then between Jake and everybody else, it's at least a 2 point drop off, if not more. So you could argue that at least the lineup data states that Mamu should start. I have my reservations about that. I think it should be Jake, but you could also make the case for Zaire, and then if a dude develops offensively, you can make the case for him. But with all that said, appreciate you guys for rocking with me. Shout out to the chat. Shout out to the Late Night Gang for those watching on YouTube. Please be sure to hit that subscribe button, turn on channel notifications, and like and comment on this video. For those listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcast platform of choice, please be sure to follow, download, and leave a 5-star review. I'll be back later in the week. I'll talk to you all then.